Amen. If you want to, go ahead and turn your scripture to Genesis chapter 12, and you may also want to stick a finger in the New Testament at Acts chapter 7. Genesis chapter 12 and Acts chapter 7. Seems like it's been raining every service for weeks now. Every Sunday night, every Wednesday. We're in our series, Faith Like the Fathers, being faith-shaped. In particular, we've been in the life of Abraham. Tonight, I want to minister from this thought, this message, halfway. Halfway. Have you ever started to go somewhere but got distracted and bogged down and never got to your destination but got stuck somewhere in between leaving and getting there? Have you ever done that? I can't remember the names of the particular stores or whatever, but my wife, a few weeks back or days back, it don't matter, but she told me she was going to the mall. And she'd been gone several hours, and when she got back, I said, how was the mall? She said, I never made it. And she was shopping with someone. She said, we stopped at such and such store on the way, and we never even made it to the mall. It happens, doesn't it? Here's the sad thing. So many have come out of sin, and they start out passionately to be and to do what God wanted them to become and wanted them to do. But at a certain point, they just got stuck, stalled out, stagnant. They never got to where God wanted to take them. Have you ever kind of felt like this in your spiritual experience? Just stuck. Now listen, I'm going to read these verses. I want you to do something. I want you to be on the lookout for something. We preached last week, and it's true that Abraham was called out of Ur, right? Abraham called out of Ur. I want you to know something peculiar about these verses when we know that he was called out of Ur. Here it is. Chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of, not Ur. I thought he was called out of Ur. He departed out of Haran. He had to be reminded. He had left Ur, but had come to Haran and had to be called out of Haran as well. Verse 5, and Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth into the land of Canaan, and to the land of Canaan they came. Now later, Deacon Stephen began to preach, and he preached from this text. Listen to what he says, Acts 7. Here a little bit of context here. Then said the high priest, are these things so? And he said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia. That's where Ur was. In other words, when he was in Ur, before he dwelt in Haran. New Testament pronunciation, Haran or Sharon. Verse 3, and said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and come unto the land which I will show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans, Ur, and dwelt in Haran. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land where ye are now dwell, where you now dwell. See, we a lot of times don't get this in the story of Abraham. God called Abraham out of Ur to leave it all and to go into a place that God would make known to him once he was there. Abraham answers. He obeys that call. He comes out of Ur. He packs up to leave. But see, there's an issue here. Families of that time were inseparably units where the eldest patriarch ruled that clan. Abraham's old, but his dad is still alive, Terah. And being still alive, Terah is the head of that clan. If you read scripture, Terah never heard the call to leave Ur, but being the, he never converted, no doubt he never converted to the one true living God. But when Abraham was called, Terah perhaps to keep the clan together, to keep the family together, Terah and other family members other than Abram and Sarah, they all leave Ur together as a clan. But it's important to note why Terah is described as the one who took the family out of Ur. It was Abram's call, not Terah's. I'm convinced that if Abraham hadn't been determined to leave Ur, Terah never would have. So you've got to get this picture. They leave Ur, they go a long ways, but not as far as God was taking Abram. They came to a city called Haran. And we don't know what persuaded this clan, this family, to settle there, but probably it was Terah that said, this is far enough for our family. And so the journey ended at Haran, and they never made it to the place where God wanted to take Abraham. Now, sometimes geography is important, and so here's a map of what we're talking about. And let me backtrack just a little bit. You see the Blue Rivers. They call this, historians and archaeologists and geographists, they call this the Fertile Crescent. If you'll notice the Nile River in your lower left-hand corner, that's Egypt. And then you go up through Canaan. There's the Jordan River. That's Canaan's land. You go on up to what is today Syria. And there is these blue rivers that go all the way down to the Persian Gulf. So if you would draw with your finger, you could draw a crescent, like a sliver of a moon from the Red Sea, following the rivers down to the Persian Gulf. Everything on the outside of that little crescent there is wilderness. It won't grow crops. It's only around the rivers. And so civilization grew in this fertile crescent. So you might have thought if God called Abram out of Ur, it would have been real easy just to go from here straight across over there to the land of Canaan. But that's very destitute, very desert land. So if you made that route, you follow the caravan routes, which follow the rivers where there's civilization and there's crops. But the thing I want you to notice, Ur way over here, the land of Canaan way over here, and roughly halfway in between is Haran. And so Terah and the family, the clan, and Abraham and Sarah and Lot, they leave Ur. Abraham's following the call, but they come to Haran, and they stop, and they settle down. So in all reality, they settled halfway from what God had called them from to what God was taking them to, halfway. So many I have seen, they come out of Ur. They come out of the world, they come out of sin, and with the passion they begin to serve and to worship and to live for God and to be involved in the ministries of God. They're advancing, they're growing, they're developing, they're doing, and then they just stop. They just stop. They don't really go back to the world. Abraham never went back to Ur, but they're not advancing either. They're not where God wants to take them. They're not where God called them out of, but they're not where God wants to take them. They've entered no new territory. Once again, they've come out of Ur, but they have stalled in Haran. You'll never be shaped by God if you're stalled in Haran. You'll never be molded by God if you're stalled in Haran, the halfway place. It's the same when God speaks to some folks about living all out for Him, about witnessing, about reaching out, about being an active part of the church. I've seen this over and over as a pastor. There's folks that are first so thrilled. I want to be involved in this. I want to be involved in choir. I want to be involved in outreach. I want to be involved in children. And they're so excited and they're so passionate. And pretty soon they're just stalled out. They're in Haran. The passion's gone. So that's the text this evening. Let's look at the truths we're going to draw from that text. As I've been preaching, Haran is the point between leaving that from which God has called you and the place to which God is calling you. Between the place where he called you out of and to the place that he wants you to be. Stalled, stuck, stale, stagnant. Let me list just a few Harans where people get stuck. Just not being committed to the hard work of serving God. My wife real diplomatically says, some people are just too lazy to serve God. They get stuck in Haran. Another Haran is just worldliness. We're going to see that in a moment. You'll never progress in God when you get stuck with desiring the things of the world. Procrastination. Some people just keep putting off the things of God. Keep putting off being involved. No consistency. Another Haran is discouragement. Some folks are stuck in discouragement. Another Haran is hurt. Some folks get hurt. They're stuck. Another Haran is bitterness. People get bitter, out of sorts, and they never go on. You know, they think it's punishing other people because they're bitter, but they're only punishing themselves. Another Haran is the loss of passion, the loss of burden, the fire. So let's take all that, that major truth, and let's break it down quickly to three truths. And there's more, but just three truths about halfway, the story of Abraham. If you stop, the past will catch up with you. You say, what are you talking about? Well, see, God called Abraham out of Ur. What was the worship in Ur? It was the worship of the god Sin, or another name for Sin is Nana. Not a grandma, but Nana. Sin and Nana were different names for the moon god. That was the worship at Ur. So they left Ur, they go all these many miles, and they come to Haran. But guess what the worship in Haran was? The worship of Sin, the worship of Nana, the moon god. So if you stop, the past will catch up with you. The religion, the faith, was the same. God had called Abraham out of Ur because he wanted him out of Ur so he could shape Abram. Make Abraham what he wanted him to be. And when God calls out of sin and he calls out of the world, he calls us out of that so he can shape us. If we end back up in it, he can't shape us. Even the word church, some try to distract from this further meaning, but the church, the word literally means the called out ones, ekklesia, the called out ones. He calls us out to shape us. How are you going to grow when you are now involved in the same things you were in before you came out of sin? You're involved in the same things you were in sin. How can you be shaped in that environment? And so the moon worship caught up with them. They left it in Ur, but there it is in Haran. The second truth tonight is if you stop, you will find something to occupy you other than what God has for you. Now, I went right over the verses, but if you'd noticed in those verses, you would have seen that Abraham began to amass wealth. He began to be prosperous and gain servants and material things in Haran. And the reason is, and I already described that in the Fertile Crescent, but Haran was midway where all these caravan routes merge and intersect. It was a very prosperous place. And so while they're stopped at Haran, Abraham gets involved in all of these business dealings and these transactions and these trading and begins to become wealthy and prosperous. Instead of going on where God wanted him to be and be shaped by God, he got bogged down and occupied, and it seemed like a good thing. The only trouble was it wasn't what God had for him, and it wasn't where God wanted him. So if you stop, there will be something to occupy you. Whether it's job or hobbies or whatever, sports, if you stop going on in God, you will get involved in something else. Abram did. Here's the third truth we can take from this. If you stop, you'll never get to where God is taking you. The point is, Terah died in Haran. Much of the other family stayed and died in Haran. We'll learn, thankfully, later that Abraham got out of there and went on. But being stalled in Haran, many of them lived and died there. I think too much of the church world is content to live in Haran. Let me tell you this. This isn't a soapbox. It's where the church world is at in America. I am so thankful for the doctrine of justification. Very simply put, that means that I can do nothing to earn my salvation, that my salvation is dependent upon what Christ has done, his blood that he has shed. And because of that, believing in that, I am justified. I stand before God as if I had never sinned. I'm so thankful for that doctrine of justification. But do you realize that so much of the church world is stuck right there at that doctrine? They never get beyond that doctrine. So here's folks that have been serving God for years and years and years, and still what is heard and taught and preached is it really doesn't matter the hang-ups you have, the sins that you do or whatever, because God, there's nothing you can do to earn your salvation, and Jesus' blood has covered it all, and there's no, you shouldn't even be trying, to please God and serve God because you can't do it anyway, and it's not of works. That's stuck in Haran. But let me tell you, the scripture that's very definitive that we cannot earn our salvation is Ephesians 2. It says that this is by faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's justification. But how many realize the very next verse says, but ye are his handiwork, created unto good works. You see, there's something beyond Haran, being called out of Ur. That's justification, being called out of Ur. There is sanctification. Will we go on to let God shape and mold our lives into what he wants us to be? And so I say the church world is stuck in Haran. They've got justification now. They've come out of Ur, but they're not moving on into sanctification where God wants to form and to mold our lives. What's the take home tonight? Well, let me just put the take home this way. You know you're in Haran. Here it is. Number one, you know you're in Haran if you find yourself doing the same things you did in sin. Okay, so this is the way they worshiped in Ur, all right? And so they get to Haran, and guess what? At least some of the family was doing the same things, worshiping the same way they worshiped in Ur. You can know you're in Haran if you're doing the same things you did in sin. Secondly, you know you're in Haran if you are caught up in, passionate for things other than this should be God's things, God apostrophe things. That's my mistake. If you're caught up in and passionate for things other than God's things. You see, leaving Ur, it was all about God, following God. And now Abraham's in Haran, involved in all these businesses and all this trade. So if you're caught up and passionate for other things, that's getting there. Caught up in things other than God, you're stuck in Haran. You know you're in Haran. Number three, if you're not passionate about what God has for you up ahead. You know how you can tell you're stuck in Haran? Is you quit thinking of that God is leading me somewhere. God is doing something in my life. God is taking me somewhere. God's got things in my life that he's going to accomplish and do. I'm stuck in Haran when I'm not passionate for what's up ahead. And you have disconnected from the things that kept you passionate for God. Think about that. You're stuck in Haran. You're no longer passionate for what God has for you because you disconnected from the things that made you passionate about God. For some, it was daily devotions. For others, it was going to prayer meeting. For others, it was being involved in this ministry, being involved in choir. It was things that kept you passionate about God, and you've disconnected from those. You know you're in Haran if you're not advancing and growing. A lack of passion can get us so involved in other things that we can go for years and there's no changes in our life and we haven't got any further in God because we're stuck in Haran. We're not advancing. We're not growing. You know you're in Haran if you're unwilling to make the sacrifice needed to get going again. You know, to leave Haran, you have to leave civilization and all these fine architectural buildings and all this material prosperity and all this culture being imported in by all the trading going on. You have to leave that and enter into a country that's backwoodsy and primitive and uncivilized, so to speak, and not near as good of or prosperous of a land. It was a sacrifice to leave Ur, but it was a sacrifice to leave Haran too. It takes a sacrifice to get going in God again. If you're stuck, something's got to be sacrificed. You know you're in Iran if you find yourself not trusting God for your future in Him. I could have just put it this way. You know you're in Iran when you quit thinking about your future in God. You begin to think, well, this is all there is. This is all I'll ever experience in God. This is what my involvement will always be. This is the level that I'll always live at. There'll be no more perfection. There'll be no more experiences in God. There'll be no more moments in God. You know you're in Iran when you find yourself not trusting God for your future. What's God have for your future? Now, here's the wonderful thing. I hope you take that home, those things. But here's the wonderful thing. Abraham got going again. He left Haran. He left family members there. He left his business there. He made those sacrifices, left the comforts of Haran, and got back on the road to Canaan's land where God wanted to take him. Can you say amen? Would you come, music? And I want to say here, as the music's coming, here we see the mercy of God. Abraham is stuck in Haran, and God could have left him there. Couldn't he? God could have canceled out the covenant he had with Abram because Abram quit advancing. But in the mercies of God, when Abraham was stuck in Iran, God did not make void that covenant he made with Abraham. I'll bless you. I'll bless your descendants. I'll bless a nation through you. I'll bless the world through you. He could have canceled all that out and said, you're stuck in Iran. That's void. That's null and void. But God didn't do it. You know what he did? He renewed his call to Abraham. He said, come out of Haran, and I will bless you, and I'll bless you with descendants, and I'll bless you with the nation, and I'll bless you, the world, through you. Aren't you glad God is faithful enough not just to leave us in Haran, but to renew the call to passion, renew the call to service and being involved in the things of God. I've said it so many, many times to sinners and new converts, and now I find myself saying it to believers in recent time, believers who've just got stuck, and they're dismayed about it, and they feel badly about it, and they don't like it. And I'm so glad I'm able to say this. God doesn't start with you where you could be or should be. He starts with you where you're at right here, right now. God didn't start with Abraham and say, Abraham, you shouldn't be in Haran. You should be way down here somewhere around Shechem, down here in Canaan. He didn't say that. He didn't say, forget you, Abraham. You should be clear down here by Hebron or somewhere over in there. But he started with Abram where he was, not where he should be or could be, but where he was right then and right now. Aren't you glad we serve a God like that? It's when we turn our hearts to him, that's where he starts with us. Praise God. Could you stand? Father, thank you for your word. Help us, oh God, if we're stuck, to realize we don't have to be, that you're renewing your call to us. You're calling us and reaching us. And Lord, I just pray, God, that we would have the faith to be shaped, that you're shaping our lives. Help someone right now to believe, Lord, that they have a future in you. Lord, you're not finished. There's more you want to do and are going to do if they'll follow on to know you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Could we come find a place to pray and let God's word find lodging in our heart? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I will not. my sacrifice is less than giving you my very best. Help me remember Calvary and be willing to say yes. God spoke to Abraham and said, take your only son and offer as a sacrifice to the one you love. Lord, is there not some other sacrifice that I might bring? But if that's what you ask, dear Lord, I'll give you everything. To say yes.